It's Thursday, December 15th, 2016, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, a show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 170, Floating Heads. Runtime for this episode is 1 hour, 18 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that doesn't need a weakness chart. My name is Jeremy.
I'm probably going to make a hail team after we finish recording this. I'm Tyler.
I'll probably end up making some kind of fire-based team because I got cool fire Pokemons after this too. My name is Zach.
And also Sun Kitty.
He's not actually fire.
He's fairy.
No, he's not. He's steel psychic.
Oh, steel psychic. Yes, I actually knew that. The moon one is fairy. That's what I was thinking of.
It's fairy dark, isn't it? Or is it fairy psychic?
I think it's fairy dark.
I can't remember. I watched Gaijin Goomba's explanation on why psychic steel makes any sort of sense for that.
Because everyone knows that the sun is psychic and has a steel core, right?
it did make some sense. I just can't remember what it is at this point.
Like, the argument is that it really has nothing to do with the sun.
Okay.
It's actually the thing that devours the sun.
Yeah, it's supposed to be something else.
Fair enough.
Its relationship with the sun is more of a hate relationship than a guardian or
also, my mane looks like one.
Wait, what?
You don't think his mane looks like the sun?
Yeah, it kind of does. I think that was probably intentional.
Jeremy had a better look at it while I was eating his starter.
Nom nom. Well, you went Decidueye, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm actually kind of disappointed with Decidueye's final form, if only because I really liked Rowlet and Dartrix, and then they kind of lost the bow tie and traded it in for Hood.
Yeah, he is now Ghost Robin Hood, and I'm okay with that, but I understand why you might not be. TV's Arrow now has a Pokemon, so that's cool, I guess.
My starter is the best one, though. I have an awesome opera mermaid.
Well, and you know who chose Rasslecat? Ed. Ed chose Rasslecat.
Well, he does evolve into a wrestling heel.
Yeah.
So Emboar can defeat him at WrestleMania.
Which is pretty great. I saw that. Well, I saw the move of it's using it, I saw the video of it using its Z move, and I'm like, it has a wrestling belt and it's jumping off of a wrestling ring. There's no way Jeremy can't like this thing.
I mean, yeah, but I already have Pikachu Lucha Libre in my life. I don't need.
That's true.
Already have Pikachu Rey Mysterio. I don't need a wrestling heel cat.
So, yeah, I guess we need to go head to head with Ed.
Since you brought it up, Lucha Underground update. Matanza was defeated and stripped of the championship by Rey Mysterio, but injured him afterward, and now wants him in a match so bad, he punched his jail cell wall until a bloody question mark appeared, yelling Mysterio at the top of his lungs, because it's the best show.
How long would that take? I feel like a long time.
What's he got to do while he's in a jail cell but punch a question mark with his fists?
That seems a little obsessive. I would say maybe.
I think that was the point.
Maybe work out.
Have you seen that guy? If he works out anymore, his muscles will grow muscles, and then he will collapse under his own weight.
Do you remember that one episode of The Tick where The Tick grows too many muscles to move properly?
It's been forever since I saw The Tick.
I don't remember any particular Tick episode. I remember the one line, "Egad, I hope not. That's where I keep all my stuff."
Although that does remind me of the episode of Fairly Odd Parents where Jorgen gets too many muscles and can't reach his face.
There are a lot of surprisingly good jokes in Fairly Odd Parents.
It's a good show. But there's no beating around the bush. This week we played Pokemon. Zach and I got Sun.
And I chose the dark side.
Technically speaking, I got both.
Yeah.
Yeah, but have you played Moon yet?
No, it's not even open.
Yeah, so you're going to save that for a rainy day when you need more Pokemans, right?
Probably.
I'm trying to think what I would do with two copies of the same generation of a Pokemon game. I really hope, though, that if they do a third one, it's just called Pokemon Eclipse.
I haven't quite decided. I'm probably going to end up doing what Jeremy has done with Pokemon Bank, and then just kind of switch off between the two copies of the generation I have, because they have slightly different gameplay.
Yep, and slightly different Pokemon.
That's more of what it is, slightly different Pokemon.
You can get an Ice Steel Sandslash. That's a type. It's not double weak to fighting, we swear. Oh god, man, that's double weak to fire.
Steel is the worst type they ever thought of.
Well, they didn't make it in order to make it good against stuff.
Yeah, no, it looks cool.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about the Golem, the Rock Electric.
That looks badass, with a railgun on its back, and the awesome beard and mustache, and
kind
Rock
of,
Electric.
But Magnezone already exists.
man, I would take a Golem over Magnezone, and I actually really like Magnezone, so it was on my competitive team in Platinum.
I do like Magnezone. Actually, I did use one in Platinum, but I remember back in Ruby and Sapphire playing competitive when Magneton had Magnet Pull, and you're like, finally, every Skarmory dies. I have this Magneton on my team. It's not good, but it sure murders them Skarmory, and that's all I need it for.
This is the first one I've ever used. I've never used Magnemite or any of its associated.
Well, that's because Magneton sucks.
And Magnemite's usually only available pretty late game.
What? Does Magnet Pool do Steel Pokemon can't switch?
Yes. Or,
okay, that makes sense. So I assume since you guys are both further in the game than I am, you've been to the Dimensional Research Station.
Yes, I'm going to say, let's just make a no-spoiler policy. Tyler, you're about to fight the second Kahuna.
Yes.
We're not going to spoil anything after that, then.
Okay, that's fair. And this is
damn it!
Kind of a spoiler. There's a guy there who's like talking about, like, Giratina lives in its own dimension. I've definitely seen one before, and like, so there's like all these legendary Pokemon and also like some completely non-legendary Pokemon they talk about, but you walk outside and then a sky opens up.
Yes,
like,
I know. This game is unfortunately rife with sky.
Also Nebby.
It's really hard for me because I'm much farther than both of you.
So we all hate So we all hate Professor Kukui, right?
What? I don't hate him.
I love him. He's awesome.
I hate him so much. He just comes into my house like he lives there. Calls my mom, mom. He's married. He shouldn't be, like, seducing my mother.
And, he has a sweet alter ego.
And he just shows up to give me exposition I don't need. He didn't even give me my first Pokemon.
No, the first Kahuna actually gives you your first Pokemon.
Yeah, I forget. Well, that's because he's too busy researching Pokemon moves and using them as puns in every sentence he speaks.
Really forgetful and doesn't know her name and has decided he'd rather call her mom
than have to ask. Main character's mother.
Nah, it's like the Fairly Odd Parents.
her
this is
name.
My name, but everyone calls me dad.
Yeah,
this back is when my name, was a but kid. Everyone calls me or calls her mom.
I really, really want to like Lily, but she's so like passive.
She gets
and...
better.
Yes, yeah, I'm.
How do
you
know?
You,
because the internet exists.
Yeah, and like, why don't... Hey, he's if you right. love that Pokemon, put a ball on it.
Yeah,
he's actually right. She does get a bit better.
I want to like her, so when she gets better, I'll like her. Kukui's starting to get better. When, I guess, slight spoiler, he talks about how he wants to make his own a Pokemon League, and he wants to make an Elite Four, so these kids will have something to do instead of just being in a dumb gang. I'm like, oh, that's a cool motivation. You should have led with that.
That's what I'm getting ready to do.
Also, is that how you become champion? Is you found the Elite Four? Because
no, somebody else
awesome.
Already did it.
Oh, well.
I'm just getting ready to smash their teeth in.
Speaking of Lily and her... What does she call it?
Nebby.
Nebby for like Nebula, I guess, even though it's a Cosmog.
I was going to say, I feel like them saying, hey, this is a legendary Pokemon in the last trailer ruins a lot of the surprise. I mean, not that it's a deep plot and I couldn't figure out where it was going, but...
You know how it's like constantly escaping from the bag and she's like, God damn it, get back in the bag, Nebby. there is a subreddit specifically devoted to memes about getting Nebby back in the bag, and it's awesome.
That sounds pretty good. We all agree Howe is the worst rival, right?
Even oh, God. May and Brendan, he's terrible.
It's Malasada time.
God, and he doesn't even... Okay, he does eventually get more Pokemon. Just slight spoilers. He eventually does get more than two.
Three, where I fought him last.
No, he still has two for me.
The last time I fought him, he had four.
There's one point where Kukui is like, I think Howe can one day become a Kahuna. And he runs in and he's like, really? And Kiku is like, yes.
sure.
I do like how more interesting character guy is like, oh, if you actually tried instead of just being like, have fun.
Edgelord Gladion? Yeah. Gladion the Edgelord? That's how I saw people describing him online.
Edgelord?
He's like, I'm so mega edgy. You know, you don't understand me.
He's got a zipper in the middle of his chest.
I'm on Team Skull, but not really.
I love that. You're like, oh, hey, it's a really cool guy. And, you know, I'm playing a girl. I, like, walk into his hotel room, like, Gladion, hey, we're all alone in here. And you talk to him, he's like, get out.
Yeah. I was like, no, you know, Gary already did the thing where he's clearly trying to be my friend and is just terrible at it. You're not as good as it, but you're better than Hal. You well, be my rival.
He's just too dang ditzy. I mean, it's even worse than the rival from X and Y, your neighbor Caleb or Serena, I want to say.
Them a little bit.
Yeah, because they're actually serious while the rest of, like, you have that cast, and your rival is actually serious about it. It's like, I want to be better than you.
Yeah, they're still friendly, but there is that actual rivalry, whereas Hao is just, yay! And you're like, God.
He's not even a good trainer.
And at least with May and Brendan, they pulled the swerve in the middle. Even if I wish they pulled it better.
What?
Where Wally is actually your rival, yeah. And he used to suck, but now he's, because you taught him to catch Pokemon, he doesn't suck.
Yeah, because there's two rivals, basically, and the one who actually chooses the one that
is strong against you kind of gives up in the middle.
Yeah, and then Wally, who chose the one that's weak against you, actually has...
No,
like
he catches a Ralts is his first Pokemon.
Does
like,
he?
Your dad's like, hey, I told this kid I would teach him to catch Pokemon, but I'm a terrible father and don't know how to bond. Son or daughter, you do it instead.
Oh, is that in Ruby and Sapphire?
Yeah, yeah. And he's in Emerald as well, I know.
Yep. No, it's been so long since I played those games, I didn't know if it was Gold and Silver.
I forgot about Norman. What an asshole.
Yes, especially if you're a girl in Omega Ruby, and when you beat him, he's just like, get out. But if you're a son, he's at least like, I'm proud of you, son. You're cool. But if you're a girl, he's just like, nope. Not dealing with this.
Speaking of which, one of the Pokemon you can catch with the island scan in this game, for those of you who have played Pokemon but not this game, you can scan QR codes, and every 10 of them you scan, you can cause a Pokemon to spawn on the island you're currently on that doesn't normally spawn in the game. And I think the second or third island, you can cause a Vigoroth to spawn. And I really like Slaking.
So what do you think of it? Because it's my least favorite Pokemon game I've ever played. I hate how often I'm stopped from playing Pokemon to hear some exposition that I didn't need. Like I said, I want to like Lily, but I hate Kikui and Hao, which are my other two characters, so...
But Kikui's wife is cool.
I actually like the fact that they're trying to make a bit more of a story focus, but I think the world is too small and linear compared to previous iterations. But it could just be because they went to a 3D... model, it's much harder to render those larger environments, or it feels smaller.
X and Y felt huge. So.
Yeah, I was going to say
Sun and Moon does not.
Yeah. I want to get back to the story, but I hate that it just gives you waypoints and is like, go to the waypoint. Okay, you got there. Because when we did our episode on Pokemon Red and Blue, it was a long episode, so I didn't get to this. But I wanted to get to all the points where you can branch out and decide where you go.
Like, after the third gym, right? You can go to, like, five different cities.
Before the first gym, you can go to the left and you have that rival fight and you can catch the two Nidoran. And Pokemon X and Y did a similar thing in the first town where you can go get Rilo and Simba. What's that Pokemon called?
Litleo.
Litleo. Or you can just continue with the game. And then the game super opens up once you get to Lavender Town. The intended way to play the game after you get the Pokéflute is to go down Cycling Road and beat Koga, and
what?
Then go back and fight Sabrina, but
what?
Nobody does that because you don't have to. The game opens up.
Huh, yeah, no, I never go down Cycling Road at that point.
Like,
so.
It took me a long time to realize that, but I always wondered, why is the Super Rod easier to get than the Good Rod?
I always wondered that.
And I finally figured it out, because if you look at the levels, the ones on Cycling Road are lower level, and also Cycling Road naturally goes downhill. And Sabrina is technically the 7th gym, and Koga is the 6th.
Yep.
Or no, other 5th and 6th, rather. And I figured it out. You're supposed to go back to Celadon instead of going straight south after you get the Pokéflute. You're supposed to fight that Snorlax, go down Cycling Road, which is naturally downhill, and then face Koga. And then if you got Fly on Cycling Road, you can just fly back to Saffron. And if not, you can take that path where the Super Rod is back up to it.
Huh.
That's the intended path of Pokemon, which is interesting, but you have a ton of choice in how you actually do it. And so many of the gyms in that game are skippable.
Yeah, and in this one, I don't think I've had a choice of where to go yet. I tried, and they're like, nope, can't go this way, random plot event.
Yeah, that doesn't really change over much.
And I kind of hate it. It just feels so rote to me, just go to the place, and like, I want to explore, I want to go to a place and see if there are cool Pokemon there. And I hate that the way they block you is pretty much just literal roadblocks. It's like, hey, you haven't beat your challenge yet, so you can't come this way. Like, how do normal people navigate? And also, it gets rid of all the, like, dumb stuff like the old man in your way. And that's not great. It's kind of, you know, it can be difficult to tell what you're supposed to do. But it's so much more engaging from a world perspective to have a Snorlax in the way than it is a literal roadblock.
Well, the first one you encounter is the Tauros in the way.
I kind of like that because the Tauros eventually becomes your friend because it likes you. So, like, it's ornery and you, like, team it, basically. And, like, none of the other ride Pokemon have any of that.
Let's talk about ride Pokemon because I hate that mechanic so much.
Really?
It's another thing where in the previous games, you bump into a tree or a rock or something, and then you would get cut or whatever, and you'd be able to go back and progress that way. It feels like every Pokemon, ride Pokemon, I've, like, gotten it right as I need it. And I don't
a lot of them you're giving them.
And also feels like they're just handing them out like candy.
Yeah,
and like
that's
you talk about
the
Tauros,
like
you kind of had to earn a friendship with it. They feel so disconnected to me as opposed to like making my Pokemon. And like when I make Pokemon teams, even as like a fan thing, like fantasizing, I like am always like, okay, I need a Pokemon that I can swim on and a Pokemon I can fly on. And I really like those limits for teams and it just building my team for this game felt so much worse because I had none of these limits to help build in. I mean, no one's a fan of HMs, and I like that they tried to get rid of them, but I really don't like this as a solution.
I actually like this as a solution. I just wish there was more engagement with these ride Pokemon because, like, I have, like, yeah, it's a Charizard. First of all, that's not my first choice for flying Pokemon. Second of all, I have no idea, like, are there even Charmander in this game? Where did he get a Charizard? Like, there's no story.
I actually don't really care, because I always hated having that Pokemon that I
had. The HM slave?
Yeah.
Well, it was getting so ridiculous in X and Y, I actually had two HM slaves.
The issue that I had, I kind of have with that, is that, again, because the world is so much smaller, the fact that you get these Pokemon right when you need them all the time, you don't have to go looking for anybody. It'd be much better, I think, if you had to go looking for them and had like a little side quest related to getting them.
That's
like
what
the Tauros
I was going
had.
To bring up, because the game is linear, not just in it's like, go here, now go here. But also, you're only really doing one thing. I want to talk about Team Skull, because there are things I really like about them, but they're kind of a joke. You're not going to Team Skull's base to fight them. You're not getting engaged in Team Skull's plans. And the way in the old games, while you were doing the gyms, there were these side things to do. There was this other plot going on. And also, kind of related to that, there's been no, like, adventure zones. And, like, that's super vague. But in the first game, you
like
go...
Like, Safari Zone?
No, or... like, in the first game, you go up a route and you're in a town. But then you have to go through a forest. And then you have to go through a cave. And there are all these, like, areas you have to go through.
Longer routes. This
there's
one
been,
is,
like,
here's a road.
Here. They're all roads. And some people talk about how they really like the, like, Hawaiian art style. But it does nothing for me. It all just feels like I'm like on a road to the next challenge.
I like the Hawaiian. I like the Hawaiian art style, but the game is too small and too linear. They needed a few more open areas because even the forest you interact with is small, and there's very little.
The game has no
involved.
Dungeons.
Yeah,
There are a couple.
Well, I mean,
of
there's
caves.
A tunnel,
but that's just a tunnel you walk through. Right? There's only one fork in it.
There is a longer cave later on that you encounter.
But moral of the story, the level design is kind of uninspired,
and
right?
I suspect a chunk of that, at least, is because of the 3D. There's more memory having to be allocated to 3D environments, so they're smaller.
I would say that X and Y proved that's probably not the case. I think.
Yeah, like, I was thinking about it. X and Y's, like, dungeons aren't great, but there's that castle near the beginning. There's, like, the kind of ice cave you go through.
Well, they did, like, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, which are actually just, like, the exact same map in 3D. And clearly they didn't have any limitations there, so there's no excuse for it, I guess.
Well, I don't know how much different it is, but there are more animations and stuff on these characters.
Yeah, they do. This game does look a little bit better than the other 3D games. It's hard to tell, especially on my bigger screen, but because I have a 3DS XL, so.
I think over everything else, so the biggest sin that these games have are the frame rate problems in double battles in the Battle Royale. That's probably my biggest issue, because the other stuff, I can excuse. It still feels like Pokemon to me. It's a linear RPG type of game, but it still feels like Pokemon to me. But getting into those bigger battles and having my frame rate drop to slideshow levels, that's kind of
ridiculous.
Irritating.
Like,
we should be better than that by now.
Should no one play test it? Because I have a 3D or the new 3DS XL, which is apparently like higher RAM, I think. But like, there even on that, I have frame rate drops. So like, did no one play test that?
Something should have been done, and I did see somebody asking about downloading more RAM.
So this is going to highlight a difference between me and Zach, and it's probably going to come up later when we talk about the assignment. But while that frame rate stuff is really irritating and I don't like it, it's like the last thing on my list of problems. Because all these things, like, it doesn't feel like I'm going on a Pokemon adventure. Because while there's this story going on, it's really basic and it doesn't really have any stakes yet. And I'm, like I said, I'm 20 hours into the game. And it's Lily wants to find a home for, or wants to find out where this Pokemon came from. But it's not really in any danger. Well, and specifically?
That was actually the first thing I noticed about this game, is it takes, especially with Tutorial Zone.
God, that was a problem. Don't do that again.
The pacing in this game is just so slow. At first I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're matching it to like the nice tropical Hawaiian feel. And then I'm like, okay, guys, I get the point.
And I haven't been on anywhere where it feels like I'm on an adventure yet. Like, I've never been like, oh, I'm going on the high seas, or I'm going into this creepy base, or even this cave.
They did overly limit your ability to go out on the water, which is really weird to say for a game that takes place on islands. Like, you think about Emerald and, like, even Gold and Silver and Red and Blue, you had that gym that was always out on the island that you had to surf to.
Well, I'm thinking even Gen 3 just, like, has a lot of water, right?
Well, I mean, Emerald, going to fight, I think it's the twins, you specifically have to surf out to that area.
And also, like, feel like the gameplay has no stakes because so many of the trainers only have one, or, oh no, two Pokemon. It also seems like they haven't done much with themed zones. All the trainers seem like they're generic tourists or lasses.
Yeah.
And although, there are so many wild Pokemon available in any area, they don't really seem themed either.
Well, okay. First about the theme, though. One thing I did like is they reused the titles that they've had in previous games. But, like, Gentleman, for example, is an old guy wearing a Hawaiian shirt. That's cool. I like that.
Golfer was one that I thought was kind of fun.
But, like, they reuse some of the old titles from older games, but have, like, a completely new take on the character model, which I like.
Have you encountered Oak's Alolan form yet?
Oh, yeah. No, he hasn't. Professor Oak shows up.
What? Isn't he dead by now?
No, he's got a mullet.
Wasn't he, like, 70 when the Red and Blue
started? Like, mega tanned and has a mullet.
I'm really excited to see young adult Red. So.
Although one of the things that got me with a lot of the Pokemon is I keep encountering Raticate. I'm much farther into the game and I'm still encountering freaking Raticate.
My big thing is them calling for help, and because it's random, if you one hit their partner, then they'll call for help again, and then you get another one, and then you kill that other one, and then you get another one.
I don't like how wild Pokemon are now more dangerous than trainers because they're more likely to call help and have more stuff. I like certain aspects of the call help for help mechanic.
Like the fact that you can see other lines in the evolution.
Or like in some cases, there are Pokemon that can only be caught if they're called for help. And also, the more calls for help you get, that Pokemon has a chance of having their hidden ability. So there are lots of cool mechanics at play there, but they're not fun as random encounters.
It's also more likely to get a shiny if they call for help more often.
Yeah.
Although it feels so random that I usually end up blowing up whatever it is I'm going up against anyway.
And actually, so one thing about this, and I think it's actually because of that, is this game feels harder overall than previous Pokemon
games. It doesn't feel harder to me, just slower.
Initially, I agreed with you, but based on where I am now, I have fallen out of that. The first guy that you go up against was much more difficult because I only had two Pokemon, and that first, the Trumpweasel, such a crappy level of defense that it just got blown up by his Smeargle, and my starter wasn't strong enough to kill it. Because I think it had Razor Leaf or something like that.
And while I appreciate them trying something new, I really miss gym leaders. Because trials don't really do what I wanted them to. They're better than the one in the demo, but they don't feel like the gym puzzles. They're not as interesting. And the kahunas feel like they're missing something when they don't have a place that belongs to them.
I thought the fire in the
fire
grass one was pretty entertaining, not great. The water one, I think, has so far been the one that felt like this is this person's area the most, is more what I was talking about.
Yeah, and that was my favorite one. But those aren't the kahunas, they're the trial captains, which are like a step down from kahunas.
Sub-gym leader.
And, like, they don't have the, like, junior trainers that are in their gym either.
There are fewer trainers overall.
They just feel like they're missing something.
So while we're on the subject of trials, really quick, that fire trial with like the randomly appearing, that is so good.
The first part was like, okay, I think it's this one, but then the second one was
like the hiker.
Here's a hiker. What's different? Seriously?
Well, I like
what's different.
I like the last one.
I can't get this one wrong.
The totem Salazzle shows up, and you can't actually get it wrong. It's like the sudden appearance of the Pokemon, the black Pokemon, the strange Pokemon.
That weird lizard Pokemon or whatever.
And it's just like doing jazz hands in the background.
You haven't gotten to it yet, Tyler, but the ghost one is probably the best one in my opinion.
I'm about to do that one, so we'll see.
But like, I like the idea of the trials. I just don't think they were very well implemented. Like, they could have done much more interesting puzzles.
And that
with
feels
them.
Like my opinion on the entire game. I like these ideas, but man, are they boring in implementation.
That said, I really like all the Pokemon designs in this gen.
So do I, but I haven't got attached to any of my Pokemon because we haven't struggled through anything.
Oh, I love my, I love Nami. I love my Prim.
So do we want to go through our teams?
Yeah, sure.
I got, I started with a Rowlet that I named Lokai because its final form looks like a cool forest guardian, so I thought Genius Lokai. I really wanted it to be a girl, so I could name it Toots, as in E-pop.
Tootsie Pop.
But, nice. Alas, it was not meant to be. I just got a Marini, and spending 2 hours catching that thing was by far the most fun I've had in this game. I named it Cruel Kid, but like Cool Kid, with an R.
Okay.
Because it looks like a Fry Kid to me. I got my Snorlax named Flapjack.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
I have a Pikachu named Rocket, because I was debating whether I wanted to use Alolan Raichu or not, and the first Pokemon I encountered in this game was a Pichu.
Oh, wow, man. So I ground for like an hour and a half trying to find a damn Pichu. So
I was like, yeah, this is meant to be, and I got a Pichu. A Rockruff evolves into Lycanroc.
Oh.
I like Lycanroc a fair bit. It's a cool design.
I just, like, I was so underwhelmed with the Rockruff that I think I'm actually going to switch my Lycanroc out. But...
And my last Pokemon is cool. It's got like, a type. It knows moves. Oh, it's a Crabrawler. I wanted to name How Do You Type With Boxing Claws On, but that's way too long.
What did you actually end up calling
it? Typette, because it's a girl. Yeah.
What does that evolve into?
I don't know.
I can't remember what it's called. I just know it gets slower, and that made me sad.
Wait, it gets slower?
When it evolves, yeah.
Huh. That's weird.
I caught one, but I'm not using it.
And it picks up water type, right?
Ice type.
It should It should just have water type. It's a freaking crab.
Yeah, no, I attacked it with a Razor Leaf. I'm like, is it dual type with something that makes it resistant to grass? That's
I'm
weird.
I'm cool with it just being a fighter.
I think
type.
I hit it with an electric. I think I hit it with Thundershock.
It learns water moves, so that's enough for me.
We were talking about that a while ago, though, on how Pokemon's really good at telegraphing types and, like, strengths and weaknesses.
But it doesn't need to do that anymore, because it just tells you now?
Well, yeah, but if you don't know it first, then... Okay, yeah, no, actually, I really hate that it just tells you. I really wish that was at least an option I could turn off.
I would be okay with it if you had to use a move type on something first.
That would be better.
If I fight, say, the Lycanroc. I mean, it's obviously, it's a rock type, so it's easy. But if I use a fire, I don't just encounter it, and then I know everything that's strong and weak against it. But if I encounter it and I use a fire move against it, I learn that's not very effective. Then if I use, like, a water move and I learn it's super effective, but it doesn't tell me anything about grass, normal, fairy, psychic. It doesn't tell me anything about the rest of them.
The downside to that, though, I guess the flaw in that, maybe not the downside, is that every time you encounter a Pokemon, you know what type it is from your Pokedex. So then it's just like simple, like 1+1=grass.
What's on your cool team, Tyler?
I currently have a midnight form Lycanroc, which if you haven't seen it yet, is basically a werewolf named Spoik. I named it that for a spoikily color back when he was Rockruff. I started with a Rowlet that I named Ritz for his awesome bow tie.
He's a cracker?
Not because he's a cracker, no. I did at one point have a Gumshoes named Tracy. For Dick Tracy, and also a Rattata named Teddy for his awesome mustache. Those are no longer on my team. I do have a Salandit, a female Salandit. I made sure to get one of those.
It's level 32, isn't it?
What is level 32?
Your Salandit?
No, it's level 26.
I thought it was 32.
I have nothing on my team. I think the Mimikyu you got from me is that, but I'll get to the Mimikyu in a second because I'm already missing him. I have a Salandit named Rhea, because it's Queen Salandit, or Queen Salazzle. Chitters, the Alolan Raichu. I needed that when it was a Pichu.
I totally forgot you had that because I blew him up so fast.
Yeah, well, I'm like, okay, psychic, and not quite enough because I used Nasty Plot and was hoping that would do it. Anyway, a Snorlax named Waken for Wake and Bake. and I had a Mimikyu I got in a Wonder Trade, and guys, Mimikyu is a great Pokemon. I actually think it's going to be useful in the meta. Unfortunately, that has been replaced with an egg from Zach. That will become a sweet ice Ninetales one day. I'm going to name it Egg.
Not vanilla?
No. It has to be something like fox themed if I'm going to be naming it. Oh, no. Maybe I'll ask Alex. Maybe Alex will have better ideas on what to name my Ice Ninetales.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it. I've even mentioned Pokemon that aren't on my team, although I think some good outliers are Magnemite named How Do I Work, an Oricorio named Give Me a K, a Crabrawler named Fight Me Bro. That one's actually not as good as Give Me a K. That one's probably my opus of Pokemon
names. And
your
Growlithe.
Oh, yeah, but I can't believe I didn't name him.
What's on your cool team, Zach?
Mine's kind of in flux at the moment. I started with the seal. Popplio. I don't know what he evolves into. I don't actually.
The middle form?
No, no one cares about. The top form. I'm fully evolved.
Primarina is
that's
what it's
it.
Called.
Named Nami because it's a mermaid. It's a League of Legends reference.
Oh, okay.
Nami
okay.
In League of Legends
I choose
is a mermaid.
To consider it a One Piece reference.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, actually.
Unfortunately, it's.
Also,
male,
Nami just
so.
Means water. No, it's Umi. Nami means.
Whatever
something that, related to water. Anyway.
Whatever Nami means.
I'm using a Salazzle at the moment, although I don't know how much longer, given that I have
an
awesome Marowak that is currently being leveled up.
I don't see. Oh, because it's fire type?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't learn any fire moves until you find the move rememberer, though, which is unfortunate.
Mine knows Flare Charge or Fire Charge.
Oh, did you teach it that from that one TM you get?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm using a Magnezone named Shocker.
Shocking.
Yeah, I know, right?
Adventures of Spider-Man.
Which has Tri-Attack, which I really like that's... having Tri-Attack available.
And Magnezone is a surprisingly good special sweeper.
I think it's a Tsarina, but I can never remember because you trade for it and it is already nicknamed Stena when you get it.
But it's the...
The Grass Kicks Pokemon.
Yeah, I was going to say the Thick Grass Pokemon is
which
what I
was
saw.
Pretty banging because I one-shot Tyler's
I wasn't
Snorlax.
Expecting it to know High Jump Kick. Why would it know that? It's a
just
Grass
doesn't
Pokemon.
Skip leg day.
And then the last one that's currently on my team is Clyde, which is a Mudsdale. I have been using a Lycanroc for a while, and I was leveling up an Ice Vulpix because I am currently in the process of breeding them and might end up just start wonder trading Ice Vulpix eggs into the world if I can.
I mean, you
it's
should.
Weird that you can trade eggs now.
Yeah, that didn't even occur to me, huh?
I don't know if I can wonder trade them, but...
Well, maybe not eggs, although that would actually be really cool. Like, I would actually... way be into getting an egg from a wonder trade.
Yeah, that's what I'm currently doing. If somebody posts like information for trading in this, I would be open to it if they put it in the email or something like that to the podcast.
Or alternatively, should suggest a team I should use for the rest of the game. That would be awesome. I'm really missing my Mimikyu, although I need to go catch another one. It's you should use it. It's surprisingly good.
I have already have a ghost Pokemon.
Wait, you do?
Marowak!
Oh, yeah, I forgot Marowak's ghost type now.
There's so many ghost types in this game. I had a Mischievous for a little while.
Yeah, I was actually...
You get those really early.
Yeah, I was using a Mischievous named Scooter.
All right, so last thing I want to talk about, what do we think about Team Skull?
I love Team Skull.
I love Team Skull less than the rest of the world, I think, but I like Team Skull.
I love how they're... All the other teams are always completely useless. And Team Skull is just playing up the we're useless angle.
I love, so they're like harassing a guy at the berry farm, and you like walk up and they're like, aha, it's this person. Surely they'll like remember our nefarious deeds. And you're like, one of your options is, who are these guys? And they're like, rot, really?
I just love how they're like, they're trying to be all nasty, and the guy at the berry farm's just completely no selling it. Like, guys, just leave.
It's
like,
your boy Guzma.
You're embarrassing yourselves.
I would like this game to have a threat. It doesn't have to be Team Skull, but it is a way in which they are failing me.
It's the Ultra Beasts.
Yeah, but like even they aren't really doing anything. And really, it's the Aether Foundation. Clearly, they're evil.
they seem evil. They seem too good to be not good. Wait, what? They seem nefarious. I agree.
Being much, much farther, I don't want to talk. My side on that, because
well,
I actually know all of the information
but
that
like
you're
said,
asking for.
I have played this game for 24 hours, literally a full day, and there is no threat yet.
Okay, you have already acknowledged at least that you spent at least 2 hours trying to catch that particular Pokemon, so there's two.
I'm like 20-some-odd hours in, and there's...
You're also very slow, because it didn't take me 20 hours to get through where you are.
I am neurotically catching every Pokemon.
See,
every
there's
area.
Your problem. You guys are catching everything you on every island.
Oh, that's our problem. We're listening to the game slogan, gotta catch them all. If only we ignored what the game told us to do.
Maybe that's why it doesn't feel any different to me, is because I have always been more on the side of, I'm going to go through here, and if I want to go catch something back where I was, I'm going to go back.
This is how I savor Pokemon games, though, is like,
catch. Yeah, I know. We do them opposite. Like, you want to try and catch everything to save the game, whereas I want to beat it and conquer it, because that's kind of what I do.
Zach's one of those assholes who chews down on his mint, because he needs to eat it now. Yeah, so I just wish this game moved faster and was more interesting, because the characters suck. Like, you're not to it yet, Tyler, but there's literally, like, this 5-minute cutscene with Howe that establishes nothing that you can't skip through. He's just like, I sure do like this mysterious treat that Jeremy can't pronounce, and no one can tell what it is.
Malasadas?
This sure is good. It's good that you know this about me now, because no one has mentioned it 6 times before. Yeah.
I'm confused. You want it to move faster, but you don't like the fact that it tells you where you need to go.
Yeah, because it would feel better to me if I, like, had to find where I needed to go.
Yeah, like, the pace would be fine if,
because then
also
I would be accomplishing things.
Yeah. And it really feels like you're not really accomplishing anything, and it's taking forever to not accomplish anything.
Yes, it's very frustrating.
Maybe it's because I just go through things much yeah. faster.
Oh, what do we think of your Pokedex being sentient? Because it's weird, and I want him to shut up. Yeah, we got Bingo over here. That's cool. Back to Yo-Kai Watch, you.
I've likened him to Clippy. So.
He seems like Alpha 6. He's like, yo, 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 Ranger boys.
It's your boy, Rotom Dex.
I don't hate him, but there are times when I just wish he would leave me alone.
You can pretty much always ignore him, which I guess is nice. Speaking of having a Rotom Dex, what do you guys think of taking pictures of posts on Pokebook?
It's fine, whatever. Yeah, okay. It doesn't add anything to the game to me, but it doesn't subtract anything either.
I want there to be, like, a Pokemon Snap segment where you're, like, on rails taking pictures. That would be nice.
The fact that Wonder Trade is more difficult to access, I find kind of annoying.
Yeah, I find the whole interface a lot worse than X and Y.
I really hate the, not the Pokemon Palago, the festival
Plaza.
Yeah, I hate the Festival Plaza.
Huh, that's weird, because I actually really like it.
I have no feelings on it, but I feel like this game doesn't use the bottom screen very well, and X and Y did it super well.
It just feels like another load screen, as it were, in order to access the online features, whereas in X and Y, I literally pressed, I want to trade something.
X and Y almost felt like an MMO in a way I really, really liked.
Now that we're talking about it, like, X and Y had so many good design decisions. Like, was there a different team working on this game?
No, same guy. Same, like, Pokemon's had the same lead designer since Black and White. This game feels kind of rushed.
I'm kind of wondering if that has something to do with it. Like, especially the Festival Plaza, there were some elements I'm like, you didn't write dialogue for that, did you?
On the whole, I think there are things this game did well. I liked some of the things that the game did, but I also find that there are some things I wish the game would have not put in.
I think the best thing I can say about this is, man, I love the model designs for this game, but
I don't care for them, so.
I really like the 3 starters, most of the Alolan forms. Salazzle I quite like.
Yep, most of the Pokemon unique to this game I love.
Initially, I thought the moon form of the Rockruff, of the Lycanroc, was going to be my favorite. It is not. The sun form, actually, having thought more about it, because it looks more like it belongs with the Rockruff.
I think Pokemon designs are great, but even I like Black and White and Platinum, where people are like, oh, they stopped trying. The more I look at any particular Pokemon, the more clear to me it is a lot of thought went into the design.
Except Rattata, which is it's a trash Pokemon. They spray painted a sewer rat. It's awful.
It's got an awesome mustache.
No, Alolan Rattata is fine. I like Alolan Rattata. Oh. No, I mean basic Rattata, that they took purple spray paint to a rat, and that's the best a team of designers can
come actually,
up with.
His tail is a paperclip.
That's actually what I initially, I named my Rattata that I caught Stash, for his awesome stash.
I just wish this game, like, made me excited to get some Pokemon and train them to be cool guys to do something. And it doesn't.
Before we move on, I just want to ask you guys one question. The new Pokemon Ami thing about being able to remove status effects and, you know, the, like, getting mud and dirt and stuff like that and having to get rid of that. What do you guys think? Because I quite like the fact that you can remove status effects outside of using
items.
It
makes it more like other JRPGs. Right?
But more recent ones. That makes status effects don't have a continuing impact after the battle, and, like, I don't like that.
So, and that's one of the few things that adds challenge to Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't care, because you can choose to skip it, and I really like petting my Pokemon, so.
Yeah, I like the Pokemon Ami features. They're cool. I wish you at least had to buy medicine things. I also think it's a little flow-breaking when you, like, defeat your rival or someone, and you're like, wait, hang on a second, story. I need to pet my Pokemon.
Yeah, no, I defeated the last totem Pokemon. I'm like, okay, well, I know I only use one Pokemon here, but I'm going to take out my entire team and pet them all and give them Pokebeans and let them know I value them. So,
I think the whole thing would be more okay if you if there are more trainers and stuff to encounter.
Yeah, exactly. Or if they had more Pokemon or more of a theme.
Although, definitely some, like, themed areas would be nice. But the one thing I do like that I don't remember them doing in a previous game is the, like, special trainers on each route who usually give you a TM and reward for beating them.
I like the idea, but I always forget to go back to them. Like, it does reward you for beating all the guys, but there's nothing to... I wish he was like, hey, you beat all those guys, come back and let's fight. Because you don't really know if you've beaten them all, and...
Yeah, I definitely did that with the one on Route 8. They were like... guy or karate guy and his apparently prodigy kid
and
on an island.
I really don't like the way line of sight from trainers works now. Like, this is a dumb complaint, I know, but I really don't like that they don't walk up to you anymore, because I liked that mechanic a lot, and I liked, like, sneaking up behind them and challenging them to a fight instead of them challenging
me. Well, I still do that.
I actually end up talking to more of the trainers than anything else. I actually don't mind that, because there are a couple of instances where trainers are in such a way where their only way in they'd walk into it, so you couldn't actually get past them, which has always bugged me about Pokemon, when you have that person who's positioned in such a way that they will move forward into an area where you need to go.
They actually use it as a puzzle in some places in the first one.
Yeah, but more often than not, it's just annoying.
I kind of agree. Like, I actually like the fact that they walk over to you in earlier games, because it builds tension on the
board. Exactly.
But they did some really cool things with the line of sight. Like, there was, like, they have a very obvious cone of vision. There's, like, a guy doing sit-ups at some point who can only see you when he's sitting up, which is kind of neat. And, like, they have very precise cones of vision, which is...
This also reminded me, I don't like how every 5 minutes someone's like, oh man, looks like you got some dirt on your Pokemon. Let me heal all of them for you.
I actually didn't feel like that, but I guess later on they start to space those out much more. Although,
they expect you to have money to buy your own damn resources.
There is an instance later on in the game where you actually have to pay the Pokemon Center.
What?
For damages, I assume. That's the only time they can possibly actually rip.
No, there is an instance where you have to pay the Pokemon Center.
There's a rogue Nurse Joy who realizes she has a monopoly on.
I don't want to go into it any more than that.
That's fair.
But the train, like the big trainers on routes, there was one that drove me insane, because I'm like, I beat everybody. There was a swimmer that I apparently kept going by on my Sharpedo ski.
Sharpedo ski?
One of the ride Pokemon you get is a Sharpedo, and it's basically a jet ski.
Yeah, to break rocks on the water.
Yes.
Yeah, I noticed there are a couple of those. I'm like, I wonder what I get to replace my Lapras. Actually, is there any reason to use the Sharpedo over the Lapras? Can you not fish
off
of it?
There's no reason to use the Lapras over the Sharpedo.
Okay.
You can do everything off the back of the Sharpedo that you can do off the back of the Lapras.
That's a little unfortunate, because at least between the Tauros and the Stoutland, the Tauros can run faster while it's charging.
Or the Mudsdale.
Oh, you get one?
Oh, yeah, right. You get Mudsdale later. I just got it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize that you hadn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really bug me, I'm just like...
But it's just like, it's a funny-shaped key for a funny-shaped hole that is in front of the Mudsdale you get that you have not seen before. It's like, oh no, there's a funny shaped door up ahead. Hey, this funny shaped horse key.
Yeah, it's not like go find the person who will loan you a Mudsdale to do this. It's, oh, you can't get over that? Here, borrow this.
What can't I get over?
This doesn't look like I couldn't walk over the top of it. This looks fairly simple.
So yeah, final thoughts on Sun and Moon. Really don't like it, but I think it's after I beat it, it'll grow on me. Because spending 2 hours to catch a Marini was so much fun.
I mean, to be fair, I really didn't like Gen 3 at first, and it's actually grown on me a lot, so...
Solid game. But X and Y, I think, was just executed so well as a game. And being able to customize your trainer's entry, I quite like that.
Your entry?
The way your trainer throws the Pokeballs into the fight.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen how you do that yet.
My trainer sidearms it.
Yeah, I just, like, that's the first time I've seen that, and I like that. Actually, what game was it? It was Diamond Pearl Platinum, where you could have, like, special effects on your Pokeballs when you threw them out. Why did they remove that? That was great!
It was a pain in the ass, mechanically.
Okay, I can see that.
So, speaking of X, this week we played X2. Mega Man X2. For the Super Nintendo.
How did Mega Man exist as this large thing? I can't figure it out.
Because platformers are fun.
Yeah, I mean, I could explain this to you.
No, these are not some of the best ones.
I mean,
God, this genre's crap.
This whole thing that is pretty much video games to most people.
Not really anymore. For a long time, true. I would say so.
Now I guess it's Call of Duty. Call of Duty is video games to most people.
Yeah, Call of Duty and Angry Birds.
Good call.
And Candy Crush Saga, and I feel like one more.
League of Legends?
Tetris?
Yeah, League is the most popular game on the planet still.
Actually, I think it's Candy Crush.
I actually think it's Pokemon Go.
Briefly, it was Pokemon.
Not anymore.
Okay, yeah, Pokemon Go is video games to people still. They just don't play it anymore.
It's old video games to people now.
Yes. But it's probably the last video games that people played.
Last time on video games, people were playing Pokemon Go.
So, like Zach said, it's still a Mega Man game. It's still the same basic stuff. Like the first Mega Man X, it has an introductory level. It works as a pretty good tutorial, I guess. It's not nearly as crisp as Mega Man X's, but it's fine.
Maybe it's because I already knew how the game worked and all that. I had absolutely no problem.
Yeah, neither did I.
No, my problem is, like, it's not as good a tutorial as the one in the first Mega Man.
But it's fine. And if you've played the first Mega Man, everything works good. It does what I consider the Banjo-Tooie thing to be, where you get pretty much all your power-ups to start,
you start with dashing,
which, like I said, you should have in the first game. You have your helmet visually, but it no longer does what it did before.
Which is fine.
Yeah. Was the third level arm cannon a power-up in the first one? I can't remember. I feel like it was.
No, you only had a second level.
Yeah, it's a power-up to get to the third.
Yeah.
So you keep that as well. You don't have half damage from everything, but you could argue, like, everything would be doing twice
stronger.
As much damage to you otherwise. So I quite like that. Yeah, like I said, the first introductory level is pretty easy. It's pretty much just a tutorial. It's a, you must be at least good enough to be this to play this game
bar. I'm probably the only one who got this feeling from it. It felt like a significantly worse version of the second level of X-Men 2 Clone Wars.
That's an obscure enough reference.
Because you're moving through a factory, that first level of the really large robots, the second level, I think it's the second level of Clone Wars, you're actually moving through a factory and there's a Sentinel behind you, so you're steadily going up the Sentinel.
I've played that game before. I was playing Wolverine.
It's a good game. I lament the fact that we can't get it, or we can't play it.
Yeah, well, X-Men are funny. Oh, they announced Marvel vs. Capcom, the next one.
I heard that. Marvel vs. Capcom, the next one.
People are afraid they might not have the rights to the X-Men for it.
I mean, they haven't put Gambit in the...
Because the X-Men are funny. Their rights might be separate. I don't know why they wouldn't either. It seems weird. They've only announced 6 characters, so...
Is Ryu one of them? Surprising
yeah,
no
Ryu,
one.
Ryu, Mega Man X, Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Morrigan, and I can't remember who the other Marvel character is.
Deadpool?
No.
I mean, I'm
going to be... an X-Men character, so...
Wait, what?
Legally speaking, Deadpool is an X-Men character.
What?
He was created for X-Men. He was
what?
Created an issue of X-Factor by Rob Liefeld.
Hulk? Increasing inflection?
Hulk wasn't the one. I don't know who it is.
Huh. That's...
I'm not actually surprised because X-Men...
Oh, Captain America. That's who it was.
That makes a lot of sense.
I thought he already said
X-Men have such a large pool of characters.
And Magneto not being in a Marvel vs. Capcom would be super weird.
Same with Wolverine.
So yeah. I'd be really disappointed if Deadpool wasn't in it because I liked him so much in
the last one. The scary thing is if they don't have rights to the Fantastic Four too, which is a possibility, no one cares until you realize Doctor Doom is a Fantastic Four character. And oh no! Anyway, Mega Man X is in that game just like he's in this game. So then you get your standard level select screen. I don't think the bosses stand out nearly as much as in Mega Man X where you had Chill Penguin.
Who's chill.
I don't know that I've ever actually
Storm Eagle
mentioned it in the like on any of these, but having given this some thought after playing this one a little bit, I think there's kind of a reason why people don't use these kind of select screens anymore. It's because you can't really give a game a proper like difficulty curve or actually have it be an appropriate test of skills.
It doesn't have a building challenge.
Because you're just... It's like, well, this challenge has to exist exclusively on its own, and you're not actually really learning anything from challenge to challenge and using it to build on itself.
Other than the basic mechanics, but yeah.
I figured out I don't really care for this system.
I actually really like it, because you feel like you're becoming progressively more of a badass and just, like, breezing through it, any recurring enemies you've seen. And then you, like, go to the ultimate culmination level, which actually can combine all the mechanics because they've guaranteed that you've gone there. But I agree, it's definitely a different type of curve.
You know what else does that, where you can feel like a badass after accumulating everything and beating all these recurring enemies in?
Skyrim.
Doom. Games that actually have levels.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's a difficulty curve in Doom. I feel like it's shoot everything.
There actually is.
Yeah, I would say there's a difficulty level in Doom, because you get more and more of the more difficult enemies.
And I like Doom never felt harder to me. I haven't played the new one yet, although, though, so
I'm not saying it feels harder. I'm saying that there is a difficulty curve. You get better with the mechanics and how to move around the level and dodge things because you've seen the enemies more and more often, and you get more and more powerful as they get more and more teammates.
So we've talked about games like Kid Icarus, which have a difficulty slide, right? And it's problematic because the game starts out really hard and gets easier as you power up.
From what you guys have said, that actually feels like a lot of what these games are.
No, this one is more like a difficulty sine wave, where yeah. the game starts out difficult, and then as especially if you get the hidden power-ups in this one, which we'll talk about in a little bit, if you don't get them, you don't really get more powerful mechanically, so the game doesn't get that much either. But if you do go for those secrets, you get more and more powerful, which is nice because the later levels start to become easier. But then you get to those final levels where it does put everything together, and it does have that more traditional video game levels start getting harder progression, and then it starts to get hard again. So it's a nice thing where it, you know, it starts as difficult, it kind of dips down, and then it comes back up, which I rather like. It kind of feels like in some movies, you have that, especially origin story movies, I'm thinking of the first Spider-Man movie here, you have that like initial challenge that's really difficult, and then you kind of have the montage of them like being really successful before the main villain comes in and presents a greater challenge for the climax.
It's a different
it's
type
sort
of engagement
that
curve.
Sort of curve, and I like it, because it's not very typical, but it's not the typical video game harder and harder and harder that you have to overcome.
And frankly, I think like continuously increasing difficulty with a couple spikes, I actually think is a more engaging curve overall. But that said, I do really like Mega Man games, so.
And in this one, I really like how much power some of the hidden power-ups give you.
Especially the super death charge Felix wave.
If you can't beat certain bosses, or if you can't get through certain platformer parts because you're losing too much health or whatever, exploring and finding these hidden things is a valid way to get past these. And I rather like that as if you're not good at combat or you're not good at platforming, but you're good at exploration, we'll reward you with that and make the other parts of the game easier. I like that give and take.
Although you still do have to be able to beat the bosses, which are always yes. like a difficulty jump at the end of the level.
Exactly. You definitely have to be able to beat at least one boss.
Because otherwise you don't, like, all that exploration doesn't pay off if you can't finish the level, so.
Well, but I just want to say, speaking of that as a general trend, I actually think this game fails in the last part. I feel like the final levels, there's some hard parts in them, but I don't think it's a very good culmination, especially if we're comparing this to, like, Mega Man X, the first one, or Mega Man 2, the ones that are really good at it. This one, I think, kind of fumbles the ball in the end.
Yeah, surprisingly, I think X3 is actually better, but we'll get there when we get there.
So you've got the typical Mega Man thing, 8 stages, 8 robot masters. They're kind of differently themed. Are there any that stand out that we really want to talk about level-wise? Because that's another problem this game has to me, is there are some cool visuals, there are some cool ideas, but there's nothing to write home about. There's a kind of cool set piece on Flamestag's level where you have to wall jump out of this volcano that's erupting and stay ahead of the lava, and that's a cool idea. It's kind of fun, but it's not amazing.
Well, there's that speeder bike on the ostrich guy's level.
Yeah, they added a lot of weird mechanics, but like that one has some like almost pixel-perfect jumps you have to make.
Which is absolutely irritating. And then there's the weather guy's stage.
Yeah, I didn't really find that one that bad.
But I don't like that one mostly because that's not a weather guy. I mean, clearly the level is a weather-themed level with like weather impediments on your jumps that I don't really like. But that doesn't make any sense that he has weather powers when you get to him.
That was just,
he does have a lightning attack,
it was
I guess.
It's just obnoxious.
Is that the sponge?
Yes.
Because you get blown back on top of instant kill spikes.
There's a water level with a submarine following you throughout it, which is an interesting set piece. But again, it's not amazing. Like, clearly they had ideas, but none of them feel like grade A ideas.
Yeah, no, I have nothing to add to that.
So this game tries to shake up the formula a little bit from other Mega Man games.
By having a plot?
Well, yes, but I think after you beat 2 of the Robot Masters, you get this like short little cutscene where you see the main villains like discussing their plan, and then they start showing up on the map, and you can see them on the level select screen, and if you go to a level where they're currently there, you can find a secret exit, and you have like an optional boss battle against them.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it seems very Super Mario World inspired to me with the secret exits. There are things I like about it and things I don't. I like it as an exploration thing. I would say the first thing I don't like about it is you can find those secret exits if the villains aren't there, but they don't do anything. They're just this door you can't enter.
for no apparent reason.
Yeah, and even like in Chrono Trigger, you could find those doors that you couldn't open until you got the pendant, but you got that message about like radiating like something weird seems power weird. Or whatever. Even that would have been
like it appears locked or something. It would be nice.
Well, because it appears locked makes you think you need a key, right? Okay, so I think that's a bad example.
It stands with just being able to find the door but not being able to do anything with it makes it look more like a coding error than an actual secret.
Well, not even that, because they're all in secret places, but it's a weird thing. I found this secret. Where is my reward for finding it sort of thing? Well,
no, that's what I was saying. Is that you find a secret, but then it looks like there's a coding error because there's nothing actually there.
Or maybe you missed something in the level to activate it. Like, you have no idea. You have no information.
The other thing I don't like is if you beat a level with one of them on it and don't find the secret exit, they disappear from the game, which is fine if it wants to be a replay mechanic and what you actually get for beating them, that makes sense. It is the sort of thing that you should try to get maybe after you beat the game once, but I don't really like that because it's not communicated very well what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, other than they're here somewhere. Do we want to talk about what it is that it actually does?
So if you remember Mega Man X, at the end of that game, Zero dies, and the villain's plot is they're trying to rebuild Zero. So each of these little villains has a part of him, and if you defeat them in that secret room, you get a part of Zero. And then even if you die on the level, you have to go and finish the level afterward. But if you die or whatever, you keep the part, so that's pretty nice.
Yeah, I guess if you don't collect all of them, you have to fight Evil Zero. Once you get to the end game area, who's actually, I think, one of the hardest bosses in the game.
I think he is the hardest boss in the game, but he's pretty fun. I'm actually glad I wasn't able to get the parts and, like, skip him just because I think he's the most interesting boss battle in the game.
What happens if you do get the parts? Zero shows up and kills him for you?
Yeah, he's like, oh, Zero wants to murder you because you let him die. And Zero shows up and is like, noob scrub, you're terrible at building Zero.
So I kind of forgot about this, but speaking of endgame, by that point you have all these powers, and we kind of briefly mentioned the, body power-ups that you get in this one.
So, like in Mega Man X, there are 4 power upgrades. I like it thematically. They're much more well-hidden to the point where I might have missed them all if I didn't get stuck on a level and feel like there had to be something I was missing, but they're a bit more interesting. So you got the leg upgrade is now an air dash.
Which is cool. It's not necessary to beat the game, unlike regular dashing.
Evidently, it's very helpful, though.
Yeah, it's useful.
Yeah, definitely I think there are challenges built with the air dash in mind, and it's the most interesting thing they added to this game. Because the cool thing about Mega Man X compared to Mega Man is the dashing and the wall jumps. The wall jumps give you a lot of vertical play. Giving you an air dash also gives you some like vertical air play, and it greatly increases the number of things you can do. And I'm excited. I hope in Mega Man X3 you start with the air dash, because I'm really excited for what they could do with that being a thing you start with. I don't think it was necessary to start with it in this game. Maybe it being less hidden would have been nice, or having a hint for where to get it, because a lot of the challenges seem built with it in mind as at least being something that greatly makes them easier. Like the weather stuff Zach was talking about, the air dash is just such a nice cushion to have with that.
Yeah,
because if you miss it by, you know, a little bit to even like a fair margin, you can correct.
And then cling onto a wall and then you get your air dash back. Yeah. So the body upgrade, which collects damage and eventually becomes a nuke enemies on screen attack. It's a thing.
Yeah, it also halves the damage you take, like the previous body upgrade, which is the more practical part of it.
That sounds significantly more useful than...
You also have a screen clearing attack. That's not bad. But it's a cool idea. It differentiates it from the first one by giving it it does this type thing.
What's the head one doing this? Is it the
It's
sonar?
A radar that will, like, it's basically a weapon that doesn't hurt enemies, but will show you where secrets are, which is nice since this game has a fair number of them. It helps you with a lot of the more obscure ones that, like, are in pits that you just have to purposely fall down and stuff. Those aren't hit at too poorly, but the radar makes it a lot nicer to find them.
Yeah.
And then the arm one, which gives you a 4th level of charge for your attack that lets you do 2 blasts. Basically, you can release the first one and then press again for a regular level second one. No, it's for the Helix one that's even more powerful than like the level 3.
I thought you fired the Helix first.
No, you fire the like standard level 2 or level 3 one first.
Okay, gotcha.
And then you can have a second blast, which is pretty cool. It also gives a secondary fire mode to all of the weapons you collect from the enemies throughout the game.
Although I'm thinking about
Does it do that retroactively as well?
What do you mean retroactively?
Item or weapons you've accumulated before you pick it up?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's just you can charge it up to that level now.
Oh.
So, although now that I'm thinking about it, couldn't you do that in Mega Man X? Because Standard Chameleons allows you to cloak, right?
Yeah, I think you also needed the arm cannon upgrade in that one to do that, though.
Yeah.
So it's a previously established mechanic.
I like the secondary fires in this a lot more. They're not super awesome, but
they all have their cooler place. They're all pretty handy in certain situations. The flame one in particular gives you like a vertical movement in the air in addition to your air dash.
And you actually need that to get some power-ups.
Yeah, there's some optional... Oh, I was looking like at secrets and speed guys and stuff. I think there's none that are actually necessitated, but a lot of them are made easier with that power-up, or the obvious way to get them is with that.
That's fair. Yeah, because there's definitely one that I remember that you'd need both the air dash and the flame charge, and I'm not sure how you would get it otherwise.
Is it the one with the spikes? You can actually get hit by an enemy and use your hit invincibility to wall jump up the spikes.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's definitely a speedrun thing, so...
So yeah, are there any of the Maverick weapons you want to talk about? Again, in this game, they seem less inspired than Mega Man X, which had that cool ice shotgun that always stands out to me.
Yeah, no, a lot of these were just kind of lame, frankly. Overdrive Ostriches is basically just Cutter Boomerang from the first game. The very first game.
Well, but it bounces off walls, so...
That's true.
Like, that's one of the more interesting ones, though, I think. Like, the Flame Guys is just suits fire.
Yeah, I'm trying to even remember what
all
of them
are. The Magnet Mines can kind of be controlled. There's the chain that you can use as a grappling hook. That's kind of interesting.
The sponge chain is actually kind of interesting. Yeah, I can't really think of... I'm having a hard time remembering all of them, even. So,
what exactly does Broken Boss give you?
Oh, the Morph Moth? What does... It gives you the... I don't know how to describe it. It's a... You throw it kind of like a grenade, and then it shoots off in the four diagonal directions.
And the upgraded version, I feel, does something interesting, but I can't remember what
that's
it was.
That's weird.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't sound particularly useful.
It's useful against a couple of the bosses who, like, hide up in the corners of the stage.
Mm. So you can shoot basically anywhere on screen and hit them.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Light can design robots to look up.
That was Wily's greatest secret.
Is the ability to give his robots the
how to look up.
So yeah, this game, as Zach alluded to, has some like processor problems. In particular, there's two bosses, Morph Moth and one of the like last bosses whose name I can't remember, where the processor will just heavily chug when they do certain attacks, and it way slows down the frame rate on the game. Morph Moth in particular makes it real hard to dodge some of his attacks.
Which is weird, because this game uses almost the exact same art asset. I mean, clearly they've made new art for it, but, like, the actual rendering engine looks identical to X.
Off the podcast, I actually mentioned that I also encountered some processor slowdowns on Overdrive Ostrich's stage when the
sand
kicks up.
Columns definitely cause it a little bit.
But at least that's an effect that I can understand why it causes it. I mean, I think it's probably a bad choice. They should have just abandoned these ideas, because the game looks great without them.
That one is just particularly rough because you're in that segment of you need to be jumping.
And your timing has to be
perfectly
pretty tight.
And now the frame rate's starting to chug. It makes it much more difficult to accomplish what you're trying to do.
Morph Moth is already one of the hardest bosses and one of the most interesting, because when you get him to half health, the like top of the screen falls down and he turns into a moth form and will fly around. So you can like have an aerial battle with him. Which is pretty cool, but it makes him real hard. He just does a lot of damage, and his attacks are difficult to dodge. So adding that like slowdown factor on one of his more deadly ones,
yeah, to make
really
the timing
sucks.
Harder. Yeah, no.
And that's definitely like a strike against this game.
Pretty significant one, in my opinion.
All right, do we want to talk about theme and storytelling in this game? Because this game has a story, but I don't think it's actually as good as X's. The theme of you becoming as cool as Zero continues, and if you fight him at the end.
You basically, I mean, you beat him, basically.
Yeah,
so.
And the power-ups in this one start making you look more like Zero. Like, they did that in the first one, too, but you start having different colors as you get the ones in this one, which is a cool visual indicator. We talked about that in Mega Man X as well.
I
really like that stayed, but...
I like the color palette in this one better, so...
Yeah, you're slowly getting, like, more white and red on you.
Yeah.
Which makes you look more dynamic. And this game, like, hints at the end that Zero was built like Dr. Wily, which is...
Interesting.
Like, it's world building. There, you can build a story on that, but we don't have much yet.
Yeah,
so
which is
weird.
Makes him more of an actual character than just, I'm going to be evil and steal everything that this guy makes.
Oh, you mean Dr. Wily?
Yeah.
Yeah, except he's not actually in this game at all. So, actually, that comes up in Mega Man Zero, which is a great game. We should play it at some point. I think it's old enough.
All right, so last thing I want to talk about is this game's endgame. And like I mentioned before, I think they kind of dropped the ball with this one. There are some interesting bosses. In particular, there's this one that like comes at you with these four cannons that you have to blow up. And then you have to kind of hit him. but the challenges don't feel like much. The like final level is actually part of Magnus Centipede's level that you've already played.
Yep.
And it's really jarring. Like, to me, I was like, did I somehow like pick the wrong level?
They recycled a level?
The mechanics like, and the background screen of it? A level. Yeah.
It's like a minute of a level. But it like feels weird. Like it mechanically, it's like a cool thing because it has like this security camera or this spotlight mechanic where the enemies won't activate if you can avoid spotlights.
It's cool enough that they put in 20XEX.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, but they just literally reused the level. Was really jarring. And then I talked about Zero, who's actually a really cool boss. He's just really quick. His reaction times are like instant. So you have to just play really smart against him. And he's got very similar capabilities to yours.
It's a fun fight.
But then after him, you fight two forms of Sigma, and they're just nothing fights. They're real easy to dodge. His final form will spawn minions that drop health.
Yeah, this is the one where he's like a giant head in a body, right?
He looks like a bad 3D graphic, which is intentionally what they're making him look like. He's supposed to look all cyberspacey.
Yeah, because you defeated his physical form last time, and now he's just a virus.
But he's not very interesting, and he's pretty easy. Like, I specifically looked at a guide to get all the power-ups before I fought him, because in the first game you really needed those, and I wanted to see where they were and how to get them.
Darth Sigma
and
with
I
his lightsaber.
I beat him, like, effortlessly, and that was real disappointing.
I guess it always would be if you effortlessly beat the final boss.
Especially after putting all that investment into getting all the power-ups, because you think you're going to need them.
Yeah. I prepared, and then I over-prepared. It turned out I didn't need to study for this midterm. I mean, but overall, I did like this game. Definitely not as much as the best Mega Man game or the last Mega Man X we played, but it was still like a fun platformer. I really like the wall jump mechanics. I really like the way Mega Man X moves, and that's like the most important part of a platformer. So I enjoyed it, but I hope X3 is better when we play it, because where we are in the Mega Man games, we just played Mega Man 4. Those definitely feel like they're running out of ideas. Mega Man X felt like a huge refresher, where they added in a whole bunch of cool new stuff. And they clearly had some ideas for X2, but they already feel like they're running a little dry.
Yeah, and X3 also feels that way, but I think it's better than X2, and man, X4. Oh, geez.
Well, that's X4. Like on the Sega Saturn or something, right?
It's so bad.
Oh.
I didn't care for it, but then again, I haven't cared for a Mega Man game pretty much ever. I did like Mega Man X. The only reason I didn't beat that one was because the thing I mentioned on the episode, the GameCube controller cords are so freaking short. I accidentally pulled my Wii off the TV.
So you played this on Wii U, right?
Yeah.
What did you think of the controls with a Wii U gamepad? Because that's much more similar to the Super Nintendo.
Jumping and shooting is super freaking awkward.
Really? Mm. Huh. I do not find that to be the case, because the fire button and the jump button are right next to each other.
Yeah, but you're holding down the jump button the whole time, so if
it's
you're
not
used to that.
It's mostly the bunny hopping and shooting everything.
Yeah, I wonder if that would be easier if you mapped shoot to one of the trigger buttons, which you can do with the Wii U. Because I mapped dash to one of them, because the way the Super Nintendo controller is offset, it's pretty easy to flick dash while you're holding fire, but it's not really with the Wii U gamepad.
I almost always map it to a shoulder button anyway, because it's
a lot
more
shoulder
natural.
Button would be better, especially for me, having gun on a shoulder button.
That's not what I meant, but yes, that is.
I've definitely
good idea,
done that before. I don't prefer it, but I did it with X for a little while. I had left trigger be dash and right trigger be fire with just B jump, and that was pretty good control.
Well, just for me, it's super easy, or feels much more natural to have my weapon on
shoulder.
A trigger, yeah.
Well, and I actually, when I said I mapped it to the shoulder button, I actually meant dash. I usually mapped right trigger, so.
So do I, but I was just curious about that. So, it's time to put it on our list. We have a list on our website at www.lasttimeofvideogames.com of all the games we played. At the top is Chrono Trigger, that game that tells you when the doors are mysterious and you can't get through them yet. At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin. That game does not care what you think about its door crystals.
It doesn't even tell you you've encountered a door. In the middle is probably Tony Hawk.
I'm going to guess it's Donkey Kong for Game Boy. Let's see. In the middle is Excitebike.
Almost.
Yay, bikes. Well, it's like Overdrive Ostrich's level, it has bikes.
Better bikes.
Good tie-in. Good tie-in.
So, even though we've pretty much already discussed it, we'll start with Mega Man X. We're all in agreement that it's a worse game, right?
Yeah, yes. The level design is less tight. The power-ups seem uninspired.
I don't think it's worse than Mega Man 3.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, let's drop down then to Mega Man 2, another game I think it's worse than. Mega Man 2 has, I think, more interesting robot masters, more interesting weapons. even though I still like the way Mega Man X moves a lot more than the way Mega Man moves, especially prior to him getting that slide.
I could beat Airman.
Usually people have trouble with that.
And surprisingly, actually, the music in Mega Man 2 is better, which is weird given that the Super Nintendo had a much better sound card.
I think Mega Man 2 is a better game.
I agree. Next game we have is Mega Man, but I'm going to skip that since Zach didn't play it. How do we think it compares to Mega Man 4? Because I actually think I like it more than I like Mega Man 4, but I don't feel super strongly about that.
I don't think I remember Mega Man 4.
The one we made most recently, it had Frogman in it.
And Pharaoh Man.
Which let you get the Spirit Bomb.
Yeah, and like that was an okay game. I mean, it's still a fun game.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, I thought
3 was the last one we played.
Yeah, no, I had a hard time remembering. We actually put it slightly above 3.
I probably can't remember it because it was just super mediocre.
I can remember
3 because 3 had its hideous hardware problems.
So do we think X2 is better than 4 then, if we kind of don't remember 4?
I don't think so. Really. I think the reason why I'm going to end up remembering X2 is because of hideous hardware problems, which is the wrong reason for somebody to remember your game.
Right? Yeah, that's true, arguably.
Like I said, I think it's better than 4, but only barely. So you're
Where are we on the list?
No, I also
number 39.
I also agree it's slightly better than 4.
How do we think it compares to the original Mega Man then, Tyler? Better or worse? I'm tempted to say slightly better, but then when I think about it, Mega Man brought a lot more originality to the table.
Yeah.
And also its endgame was a lot stronger with...
And frankly, the level design was a lot more creative. There were, like, weird things going... Like, when I first played Mega Man after having played so many of the X games, like, there were just weird level design elements in it that I have never seen in a game before, and I think it deserves some props for that, because they worked well.
Alright, so there are a few games we could compare it to down here, but I want to go with Castlevania Rondo of Blood, the last Castlevania game we played.
Oh, Little Girl Powers.
Yes, Little Girl Powers Go.
With the super anime intro.
Because that's another game where we said the level design was a little lacking, but I actually think I liked that game a little bit more than
this
with
Ryu Belmont?
Yes. With all the anime influence. Because that game feels like it's bringing a lot of new stuff to the Castlevania table. Stuff that Symphony of the Night is going to
very clearly borrow.
Rondo of Blood's a better game.
Yeah, it's a more interesting game, actually. It stands out more clearly in my memory, and I really like the Castlevania aesthetic.
So, one of the games that I think maybe is a little bit too high. How do we think it compares to Shantae?
I mean, I really like Shantae. I like the exploration elements, even if it was mechanically less good than it could have been.
I like how Shantae looks a lot more than Mega Man X.
I'd actually say I like them about the same.
I like the more cartoony style on Shantae than I like on the Mega Man X.
It's weird because I would say Mega Man X's style is a little cartoony, but I see what you're saying.
No, I kind of agree. Like, I like the style of Shantae more, but I think X just looks so much better.
Well, that's just a difference in hardware, right?
Yeah. Shantae has a fun exploration elements, like, although they didn't really think how I don't think they really thought through how the power-ups actually affect you mechanically.
I think the level design in X2 is just a lot more solid than it is in Shantae.
Yeah.
And that's why I say it's better.
I struggled to get through any of them, and I honestly, most of the levels I found most of the levels that I played in X2 just annoying, and I barely managed to pick it up to try again. Because the first two levels I tried felt so blisteringly unfair.
So something I didn't notice until now is X2 doesn't really feel like an entry-level game. I don't think it's as bad as some games, but I think they do expect you to play Mega Man X first. Because a lot of the things Zach is saying is annoying are like things they're trying to be like, okay, what can we do with this game that's not just jumping over a pit?
Yeah, that's
we can try this weather
X.
thing. We can try this bike thing. And I think that's part of why it doesn't stand out to me, is they're just trying these gimmicks. But I think that's also why Zach doesn't like it, because he's frustrated that he can't get through this stuff that makes these complications, basically, on a formula he already struggles with a little bit.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about that, that's probably accurate. But it's definitely meant for you to have, like, played X obsessively, right?
I don't know about obsessively, but
obsessively.
Be
you both have played X obsessively, so... Yeah.
But I think that's some thought given into it that I feel like Shantae didn't have. But, well, like, if you both think Shantae is better, that's fine. I'm just saying I'm firmly in X2's camp. Zach seems firmly in Shantae's camp, so, Tyler, as with many things, it falls to you.
I didn't notice any hardware problems with Shantae. I think the animations are a hell of a lot more smooth with Shantae. I wasn't trying to say necessarily that it was better. Thinking about it, I do think it is, especially given contexts.
I guess my thing is I like Shantae's flavor better, but I still think Mega Man X2 is a better, like, it's a more solid platformer, and Shantae had so many enemy design problems. So many enemy design problems.
Yeah. All right, so that makes the question, do we think it's better or worse than Uncharted Waters New Horizons? Which is interesting to me, because we're talking about how X2 feels like it's lacking and struggling in ideas, which is the reason New Uncharted Waters is so high, is because of its ideas. But on the other hand, what it lacks is polish, and X2 has that. So
kind
it's a,
of.
So it's a very interesting dichotomy in my mind, but it does have those sort of frame rate glitches that hurt it.
Yeah, that's why I was questioning saying X2 had polish, because they clearly didn't QA it enough.
Yeah, but I feel like anything you do in X2 is more fun than the combat in Uncharted Waters.
What did I say to you, Tyler? How did Crapcom get away with publishing something that was this unpolished and having these money problems? Oh, wait a minute. That sounds like modern gaming.
Yeah. But even though I'm making lots of arguments for X2, I think I like the novelty of Uncharted Waters a lot more.
I think we actually overplaced Uncharted Waters thinking about it more, given how much we go after other things. It's like, this has great ideas, but its execution is poor. There's quite a few of them that are lower on the list. That one's like the only one that got a free pass.
I guess the problem is Uncharted Waters, actually, like, combat isn't the major thrust of the game.
But I really hate Mega Man X2, and I'm finding I hate Mega Man in general, so I'm going to say it's worse.
So Uncharted Waters had crappy combat, but like everything else about that game worked.
I cannot think of a game with better trade mechanics than Uncharted Waters New Horizons.
That's because usually trade is unfun.
Yeah, but they made it fun, right? That's impressive. And that to me is why it goes so high. I wish the combat was better, because that's another dimension it can have. But you can play that as a trade game where you avoid combat.
Yeah, I chose the wrong character for it, but I went back and played one of the trade characters.
And also the world mapping is more interesting than a lot of games, and you can play that as just a map the world simulator, too. That's why I think it's so high.
Well, I'm just saying that's the odd man out for most of the games, where it's because we place games based on their mechanics a lot more often, and that's the one that got
And I guess my argument was
that
one of its mechanics is bad, but the other ones are still good.
Like, to me, the most important thing is the game fun? I know, Zach, you and I clash over whether certain games are fun or not, but I think the reason Uncharted Waters plays so high is, yes, it is fun to, like, buy this stuff and trade this fun. And no, the combat isn't
town's
fun,
economy.
But the combat is avoidable enough that it doesn't matter.
Oh, I hadn't even realized that. You can totally do your own little South Sea bubble in that game if you wanted
yes,
to.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, that's what makes it great, but are we in agreement that X2 is worse than it? Do you have anything to say, Tyler?
Okay, so I guess part of my problem is I definitely played Pirate Lady the most in that game, but no, I would still have to give it to Uncharted Waters New Horizons. Reasonably good humor, it's got fun trading, how often do you get to say that? You can just go map the world, you can rebel against your aristocratic Spanish father, so...
It's even got pretty interesting story on the story here. Alright, so Mega Man X2 goes higher than Zach wants it at number 36, above Shantae and below Uncharted Waters New Horizons.
Well, now that I've gotten the fighting robots out of my systems for a while, what are we playing next week, Jeremy?
Well, we played a Capcom game, so it's only fair that we play an SNK game next, right? That's how that works.
We have logic on this podcast.
So have
sometimes
we played any other SNK games?
King of Fighters.
Yeah, King of Fighters was one.
I forgot we played that.
Metal Slug, I think, is SNK?
Yeah, I think it is.
Definitely is.
It was definitely on their system. I don't know if they made it.
I'm pretty sure it was.
It was a Neo Geo game?
Yeah.
Was Cruisin' USA an SNK?
No,
it was not.
I went to Pizza Hut and they got rid of their Cruisin' USA cabinet and their Area 51 cabinet.
I've been there recently. It's now a drink freezer.
Yes.
It's a drink fridge.
I was there like 3 months ago and they were still there.
That's a decided downgrade.
The last time I was there was longer ago than that and I didn't see it. I also wasn't looking very hard.
All right, so next week we're going to play the game I thought King of Fighters was, Fatal Fury, : The King of Fighters.
Yay!
So you can still shoot all the crack you want.
Next time on Last Time, crack shoot. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.